Minerva, the handcuff queen.
This is the Runners Up Club, a podcast about unsung heroes, lovable losers, and forgotten failures. For those with a few minutes to spend on those who spent theirs in a losing cause.
Hey everybody, I'm Ray A. I've got a short, intriguing tale for you today about a woman of mystery who, if I have my way, will be the subject of a major motion picture sometime soon. Fair warning, it will take some creativity from you budding screenwriters out there. There's not a lot known about our subject. Well, you all know Harry Houdini, magician, illusionist, escape artist, a debunker of false spiritualism, a world historical figure in his day, and considered today the best magician ever. Capital B, capital M, capital E. Check all the lists, he's on top. Now, finding a worthy runner-up to Houdini is no easy task, given the enormous gap between him and everyone else, a gap Houdini himself did everything in his power to maintain, as we'll see. Well, in his day, he had many imitators, more than a few who shamelessly adopted variations on his name, not to mention his tricks. To simply read their monikers, preferably in the voice of a carnival barker, is to get a sense for the wondrous circus of attractions that existed in the vaudeville era. Boudini, Houdini, Udini, Hardini, Cunning the Jailbreaker, Brindamore, Professor Maharaja, the list goes on. Well, amongst this veritable army of rivals, one stands out to me, and that's Minerva, the Handcuff Queen. She was a very rare woman in the broad field of magic, which was dominated by men, but I'm picking her amongst the contenders not just for that reason, but because she was said to have pissed Houdini off by stealing one of his most famous escapes, and this led to her being poisoned by Houdini's men. Or so she said. Or someone said. There's a lot shrouded in mystery about the life of Minerva, and that does seem about right for a story about an illusionist. She was born Margaretha Gertz, or possibly Mildred Snelling. She was probably German, but may have come from Newcastle-on-Tyne in England, or Ostratoten, a town in Norway. We don't really know for sure. We know she was touring the vaudeville circuit in Europe in the late 1890s. It's not entirely clear what her act was at that point, but the move into escapology seems to date to her first marriage to a fellow vaudevillian named Edward Van Dorn, stage name Edward Vano. This is in 1904 or so. Well, Vano had been touring for years as part of a duo, Vano and Anvo, the transatlantic wizards of handcuffs. We don't know who Anvo is. After the marriage to Minerva, the act becomes the Vanos, the king and queen of handcuffs. Anvo's gone, and now it's the magic celebrity couple. Edwerva.
Ugh.
Minward.
Ugh.
No, both bad. Good thing they didn't have that stupid tabloid custom then. Well, Vano brought the handcuff skills to the union. Minerva seemed to have brought everything else, and everything people most wanted to see. The skill, of course, yes, she learned all that, but the charisma, the beauty, and ambition too. Well, soon enough, Minerva is the headliner, her husband is her manager. A few years after that, the Van Dorns divorce. Minerva drops the surname. She is now simply Minerva, Queen of Handcuffs. In the ads for her performances, she's billed as one who equals Houdini. She's called, quote, the American Queen of Mystery, the only woman bridge jumper, handcuff expert, and jail and prison breaker. An incident during an East Coast tour in 1908 tells us a bit about her character. She's got a $75 gig doing multiple shows at an amusement park in Maryland. The highlight of the show is when she's handcuffed by the chief of police and jumps into the Potomac. Crowd loved it. The assistant manager at the park loved it a little too much. This sleazebag comes by Minerva's hotel midweek at night and makes a most insulting proposal, according to the Cumberland Evening Times. We know what that means. Today, we know this as pure harassment and abuse. Not so much back then. Still, Minerva was having none of it. She refuses the guy's advances. He says, I'll fix you for this, as he walks away. She's prevented from doing her show the next day and is sent packing with partial pay. Well, Minerva sues for the full amount, calls no witnesses but herself, speaks for herself before the court against the four shills put up as witnesses by the sleazebag, and she wins the case. Now, there's only a bit more about Minerva's professional career. She's touring Europe in 1909. She's added a death-defying water trick to her act. That's what puts her in Houdini's crosshairs. It's basically a copy of Houdini's Milk Can Escape. In the Milk Can Escape, the performer is handcuffed and immersed inside a waist-high container filled with water. The cap is sealed with padlocks. Houdini considered it the best escape I have ever invented. It was certainly innovative at the time, in that it replicated the death by drowning suspense of the river jumps that many folks were doing, but it happened inside the theater. Getting out of handcuffs or a straitjacket is impressive, but you don't die if you fail. There was a legit chance of death in this trick. The Milk Can Escape was a sensation. It became Houdini's signature for many years. And there were many forgers out there, rival escapologists who could and did replicate the thrill. Minerva's water-filled barrel trick was one of those copycats. It, too, was hugely popular, anchoring her European tour in 1909. By some accounts, Minerva improved upon the trick, that she was more heavily bound than Houdini was, or that possibly she performed the trick in full view of the audience as opposed to behind a curtain. There's no conclusive evidence either way on this. On the other hand, the Houdini is God cohort would claim that it wasn't Minerva's skills in escapology that drew her crowds so much as the sight of a comely young woman emerging drenched from a water-filled barrel with Edwardian-era silk and lace clinging to her attractive figure. A reporter for the Cumberland Evening Times surely knew what he was conveying when he wrote the following in 1908.
Minerva is the only woman before the public today who juggles with the handcuffs as though they were gold bracelets, and comes out of a locked-up straitjacket as if she were wriggling out of a silk negligee.
Now, Houdini himself was no chauvinist when it came to women and magic. He was a supporter of many female magicians, he had a female agent, he supported the suffragettes, and he was, by his own admission, something of a mama's boy. But he was famously, fiercely competitive. He was an aggressive self-promoter long before social media created the concept of a personal brand. He studied other magicians' strategies and their tricks. He pushed himself to heights of innovation, doing ever more dangerous or thrilling acts. He had no compunctions attacking his rivals, calling them out as pale imitators in public and in the pages of the Conjurer's Monthly magazine, which he himself published. All this adds a sinister final flourish to Minerva's tale. She's on that European tour in England doing her water-filled barrel routine one night. She climbs into the barrel and immediately feels this burning sensation. Someone's put acid or lye in the water. Was it Houdini's people? Did he dispatch goons with handlebar mustaches to slip in before the curtain rose and drain a quart of lye from the false bottom of their classy canes? I'm going with yes on this. It fits with Houdini's competitiveness, and it simply makes for a better story. Houdini was suing Minerva at this point for stealing his trick. He was suing others as well at the time. Minerva countersued Houdini for sabotaging her act and kind of trying to kill her. It's not clear who won those cases. We know who won in the eyes of history, of course. Houdini sits atop many, probably most, lists of the greatest magicians in history, a history that Minerva has been largely lost to. Not entirely lost. A few years ago, a play about her called Minerva, Queen of the Handcuffs, was staged in Canada. It was written by a magician playwright named Ron Pearson. It starred a real-life illusionist, Miranda Allen, in the role of Minerva. She also appeared on the Penn & Teller's Fool Us show a few years ago. Allen does a version of the water barrel escape, but with wine. Find it on YouTube. It's excellent. That play, which I have not seen, got me thinking that Minerva's story truly is ripe for treatment on the big screen. Consider this a challenge, all you budding screenwriters out there. Let's get this thing written and in production by the end of the year. I see the Norwegian actress Renate Reinsve in the title role. It should share some DNA with Christopher Nolan's The Prestige, and it should end with Minerva meeting with Houdini on his deathbed. He's dying of peritonitis. She's not there to gloat, but she learns that it wasn't Houdini after all who put the acid in the water barrel. I don't know. Okay, that last scene definitely won't work. I know you guys can do better. You'll have to invent something dramatic, and you will have to invent it. Minerva's tale does not end with a bang, so far as we know. She seemed to have stopped performing around 1913 after marrying a guy named Jarrett. Guy Jarrett. Minerva, we hardly knew ye, but we love ye all the same. Welcome to the club. Since we can only admit one runner-up per category, you are also here representing a long list of performers who, like you, were considered handcuff queens and rivals or equals to Harry Houdini. I'm talking about Thelma Griffith, Blanche Vassar, Effie Lorraine, Lasco, Ybor, Madame Lada, Marie Shannon, Dorothy Dietrich. We salute you too, skilled, charismatic performers, all headliners in your days. That's a wrap for this episode. Hey, next time you go to a show by a modern-day escape artist, if you do, David Copperfield or Chris Angel or Michael Griffin or Lady Houdini, or next time you're recruited by your cool, clever friend into an escape room adventure, I hope you'll spare a thought for Minerva, the handcuff queen. So long.
This podcast is created, written, and performed by Ray Agustinelli and produced by, with original music by, Bad Hat Media. Find more at runnersupclub.com. Until next time, keep running.